Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And my name is Julie Douglas.
And we're talking about skin today. The skin that we live in. The skin that covers our bodies, that is our bodies.
Yeah, you know, I've been wanting to tell you this for a long time.
Okay.
And we've been podcasting now for, what, like a year and a half or so?
Okay.
So I feel like I can finally tell you something.
Okay. Let me have it.
Your epidermis is showing.
Oh, we're just talking about this. This is the popular second grade, third grade joke, I guess you'd call it.
Yes.
Where one person comes to this and says, oh, your epidermis is showing, and it sounds
dirty.
Or oh, what's happening? Something unzipped of it. Oh, it's just my skin. And then that's the punchline. Oh, but everyone's skin is showing, right?
Right. And this, here's the thing, though. That's the deal about skin. It seems not too exciting. The thing that gets overlooked.
Yeah.
A punchline. But it's amazing stuff. And as you all can tell, we are going to talk about this today.
Yeah, so people have probably heard this fact before, but it is, in fact, the largest organ. Human body. If you've ever gone to a trivia night somewhere, they've probably thrown that one out. It's a favorite on the trivia circuit. If you were to stretch out the average adult skin, it would cover 22 square feet, 2 square meters, and it's a little bigger than a twin bed, and it would weigh about 8 pounds.
That sounds a little horrific. It sounds a little like Buffalo Bill, Silence of the Lambs, if you were to stretch it out. But yes, if you were to do this.
It does bring to mind all my favorite and least favorite Skinners in fiction, like Buffalo Bill.
Yeah.
There's a fabulous or a horrifying character in Larry McMurtry's Comanche Moon who skins people. There is a terrifying skinning sequence in Murakami's, which one was it? Not the wind-up. Yeah, it is the wind-up Bird Chronicle. There's a Mongolian flayer that flays a man alive. And, of course, fans of the Game of Thrones series know the Bolton clan rather well. It's a horrifying thing to anticipate.
One more, Evil Willow from Buffy. When she eviscerates someone.
Who does she get? Someone
who did something to her lady. I don't know.
Oh, yes, that storyline, yeah.
But obviously this was a very dramatic moment. So, yeah, we're going to talk about this. We're not going to talk about evisceration so much as just this thing that we're wearing on us.
This is just flavoring. The horror of being skinned kind of drives home just how important it is. It is the surface level of our being. It is the layer with which we sense the world around us. It mm-hmm. is the layer that carries our physical identity. And we tend to have a really hard time living without it.
Yeah, we'd be oozing all over. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty important. We clean it, we decorate it, we stretch it and pull it and pierce it. And in 2007, here's a nice stat, 11.7 million Americans underwent some sort of cosmetic procedure. Botox, fillers, surgery, so on. That is a 457% increase from a decade earlier. So we're pretty concerned about how we are portraying our skin to the world.
And that's not counting tattooing, right?
No, exactly, exactly. There's a lot associated with this. There's ego, there's beauty, there's ritual. And here's another little fact I wanted to throw out there. Our relative hairlessness mm-hmm. is not something that is an adaptation of us wearing clothes or us having descended from dolphins. It's more to do with our abundance of sweat glands. So that's why we are the hairless wonders that we are.
Some are the hairless wonders.
Some more than others.
Like I was watching an older film where they had medallions the other day, and I was thinking, oh, if the medallion comes back as a male fashion accessory, there are going to be a number of guys out there who are going to lack the prominent chest hair required to prominently display said medallion. And I was wondering if there is a business opportunity there for me in the marketing of, I guess it'd be like a chest merkin or something.
A chest merkin.
Yeah, or a chest wig, you know? Because you don't want the medallion just sitting there on flesh.
I mean, this is a good day. I'm going to say this right now. You know, merkin hasn't come up in a long time in conversation. So the fact that you just brought it up, I really appreciate that. I'm sure there are other people out there that you just got some merkin points with.
Yeah.
We are relatively hairless, except for those who want to maybe go back to the 70s and wear medallions and put a little Rogaine on their chest. But let's just have a little overview of how this wonder skin works for us and why it's so important.
As we mentioned before, you know, without it, we would be oozing Clive Barkery horror shows. And that's telling because the skin is a protective layer. You can think of it as the wall, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Inside all of our guts and our bones and all this, it's very important, but you can think of it as like a medieval city. And we recently discussed walls in an entire mm-hmm. episode, and we discussed the importance of those walls surrounding that city to protect it from marauders and invading armies and barbarians. Well, same deal with the skin. The skin is there. This is the wall around the city. And the white blood cells are the soldiers manning that wall to fight off the bacterial invaders that would come in.
That's
and
the
loot
first line
the
of
city.
Defense on the epidermis, right?
Yes.
And that epidermis is also helping to produce melanin, which we'll talk about in a little bit. So we have a second line of defense. This is the dermis.
Yes.
And this is like sort of the meat of the sandwich, I think of it as.
Yeah, this is where you find blood vessels. It's full of collagen, which gives it the firmness that we encounter with skin. And it's also where you'll find sweat glands and the hair follicles. And it contains all these nerve endings mm-hmm. as well that allow us to feel sensations such as heat, cold, and pain. And as we've discussed in the past, in discussing pain, when our pain sensation is working appropriately, it is an important warning sign that something is wrong, that something has pierced the defenses, that something may pierce the defenses, that something mm-hmm. may damage the walls of our being.
It also tells our immune system, like, hey, by the way, we've got stuff going on. Why don't you get into the action here? Because we tried to vanquish this bacteria with our white blood cells, but, you know, possibly you should get in on the game as well.
Right. And those blood vessels also have an important role to play in regulating our body temperature.
Mm-hmm.
We touched on some of this when we were discussing the possibility and impossibility of gigantic creatures. And that was one of the things that came up in discussing like King Kong, is that you have a body that big, you've got to cool a body that big
mm-hmm.
and regulate its temperatures. So blood vessels in the skin contract and dilate depending on the outside temperature. So when it's cold outside, blood vessels contract to keep the blood near the surface of your skin from becoming too cool.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's hot outside, the same vessels expand to encourage heat loss and you begin to sweat.
Ah. So that's what's keeping us all nice and comfortable. And then we have the hypodermis, which is just basically attaching the skin to the bones and the muscles.
Yeah, this is the innermost layer, and it's just the ground level of the skin.
The tethering system.
Yeah.
Yeah. So our skin has to do a couple things. It has to absorb enough ultraviolet radiation from the sun to manufacture vitamin D, which our bodies really need to keep our bones strong and healthy.
Oh, I forgot the sebum.
Sebum.
The white blood cells are the soldiers manning the walls. And the sebum, they're like the outside force that kind of patrols right outside the gate. Our pores pump out this oily sebum stuff, which is more difficult for bacteria to penetrate.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another protective layer.
It's a nice little sheen on our skin. You could put it.
And it also helps to regulate body heat.
Yes. Yeah. So it's doing all sorts of things, and it is also using and harnessing the power of the sun, right, to manufacture vitamin D, keeping us healthy, also keep our immune systems in check. And it protects us from the damage of too much ultraviolet radiation from the sun, because if you get too much UV radiation, that destroys something called folate. And folate is really important in terms of cell function and cell reproduction. Folate deficiency is actually linked to neural tube birth defects during pregnancy. That's why a lot of pregnant women take supplements for it. But this is something we're getting to here, is this idea that our skin isn't just a protective covering, making sure that our organs don't fall out, but that there's other little nuanced things going on at the level where melanin is produced.
Yeah, melanin is a pigment that's produced in specialized skin cells called keratinocytes. And the more melanin you have, the darker your skin happens to be. So hormones and genetics play a role in this, and it determines how much a pigment our bodies will produce. And it also explains the wide variety of skin tones that we have. Like, you even have two siblings that share the same parents, but they'll have slightly different skin tones going on. Or sometimes not even so slight.
And this is called a biological adaptation. It's a trait that's evolved over time because it increases the likelihood that that person will survive long enough to produce. Professor and author Nina Jablonski did a great TED Talk about the illusion of skin color. And she talks about this fact that we are so connected to our early ancestors. We are connected by our DNA, by our mitochondrial DNA. And yet we have these differences in our skin pigmentation. And a lot of this seems like, yes, this all makes sense. But when she talks about it in this way, it's really fascinating. She talks about it by saying, let's look at what the earliest humans were dealing with in terms of their environment and why they had such a concentration of melanin in their skins. They had evolved in high UV environments in equatorial Africa.
And again, it's important to drive home again. Melanin helps absorb the harmful ultraviolet rays of the sun. So light-skinned people have a greater tendency to get sunburned than dark-skinned people, and that's where we also see tanning come into play.
Right, right. So you think about melanin as a natural sunscreen.
Right.
Yeah. And so we're looking back at this early environment on Earth, and we know that melanin has been in production for millions of years, and we've got the earliest humans hanging out near the equator, and that is being bombarded, that atmosphere, by UVB, UVA, and UVC. Now, UVC is pretty much sort of being filtered out in the atmosphere, but UVB and UVA are really killing it. And UVB can be really destructive, and yet it's also really important, as we've talked about, in producing or helping your skin to produce vitamin D.
Especially when you're dealing with early civilizations where people are not working office jobs 9 to 5.
Right.
I mean, everyone
right.
is more or less out in the open. And if you're living in an area that's not, say, heavily wooded, that doesn't benefit from a lot of cloud cover, then you're going to be absorbing this stuff on a fairly regular basis.
Well, and in this small concentration of area, right, like between tropics of Cancer and Capricorn, this is where early man is setting up shop, because most of the rest of the Earth is way too cold. It's way too harsh. So, yeah, you're going to have to be dealing with this environment, and your skin is actually going to naturally select to pigment itself to create this sunscreen for itself. But Jablonski says, okay, what happens is that we then have migration.
Yes.
And humans disperse not once but twice. Major moves outside of our equatorial homeland from Africa into other parts of the old world, and then most recently in the new world. And she says that when they were dispersed into these latitudes, conditions were significantly colder, of course, but they were also less intense with respect to the ultraviolet regime, as she calls it.
So over thousands of years, we see individuals move from brighter, warmer climates to colder, darker climates. And then over the course of, say, a single generation or even less, you'll have this new migration where someone will move from these darker, colder regions right back to where they started from, more or less, in terms of heat and light within just a few years.
Yeah, so all of a sudden you do have some of these lands opening up as the climate warms, right? And it becomes possible to live in the northern climes. And you have dark-skinned people who begin to adapt, as you say, within generations to this. And they begin producing less melanin and become lighter-skinned. And I just think it's fascinating, because this is the reason why we have this array of colors. And she makes this incredible point, Jablonski, She says that we don't need a proof of concept to explain evolution that is overly complex. She says, just look at your skin and you can see the evidence of natural selection at play.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating. And it really changes the way you look at different skin pigments among different racial groups, just based on where they are in the world.
Well, and I think that it's given science, and particularly medicine, a better understanding of how our environment really affects our health. Mm-hmm. So if you are someone who is light skinned and you're living near the equator, then you have the very real possibility that you're going to be deficient in folate. Mm-hmm. And so you needed to take supplements for that. If you are dark skinned and you are living in extreme northern climes, then you're going to take vitamin D because you're not going to produce nearly enough from the weak UVB coming through in the northern
climes. And really, I mean, a lot of us anyway in the modern world do not get enough vitamin D anyway.
Right.
Because we, like I say, we're living these lives where we're inside for 9 to 5 in many cases. So we're not out in the open to receive that vitamin D in the quantities that we have evolved
for. Well, and sunscreen. Mm-hmm. Actually, so. I know that there have been some studies about the deleterious effects of sunscreen on us in terms of our immune systems and vitamin D deficiencies. And even some of the things that have been cropping up, just things like allergies in kids, things that didn't used to exist previous to like the 1970s, really.
Yeah.
Because we are slathering ourselves in sunscreen, which you have to do, right? But again, if you are not really getting that exposure you need, then you can't synthesize vitamin D for yourself.
Yeah, it's like you're sort of damned if you do, damned if you don't, right?
Yeah.
It's like if I go out without sunscreen, I get burned. If I go out with sunscreen, then I need to take vitamin D. So
it's true. It's true. You know, I think it's time to bring the sexy on in the form of the future of skin. But before we do that.
Yes. Quick break.
Quick break.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, we're back. So we've discussed skin, how it works, what it does, what kind of goes wrong with it as we drag it into the modern age with us. But now we're going to drag it even farther into the future with us. We're going to take skin with us and try to imagine what our skin is going to be like in the years to come.
All right, but this is really some very cool stuff that's on the horizon here. And before we go into that, I did want to mention that there is something that sounds futuristic that's already in play, and this is called spray-on skin, and this is for burn victims.
Yes, yes.
So I've mentioned that because we're going to talk about this stuff, and you may say, I don't know if this is going to come to fruition, but things like spray-on skin, or the skin gun as it's called, also seemed like it might never come to fruition, and it certainly did. So what do we got here?
Well, on the subject of skin growing and skin spraying, there's an interesting project from the Fraunhofer Institute of Interfacial Engineering and Biotechnology. They have set up a new skin factory that can supposedly produce 5,000 penny-sized discs of whitish translucent skin every month.
Mm-hmm.
And they can also do varying darker shades as well. Robots control the skin growing process, monitoring the cell broth, and carefully slicing swatches to prevent infection. So this is the kind of thing we can and will use in skin grafts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have situations where someone has lost skin, particularly to burns. And what do you have to do? You have to get skin from elsewhere in the body and move it forward. That's why my friend Oz, who was shot with a flaming arrow when he was a kid.
Because weren't we all?
Yeah, as kids do. And so he has butt skin on his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
He's very proud of.
At least you call it like his butt shoulder.
Yeah. I mean, because he has a story about being shot with a flaming arrow.
Which is fine enough, right there.
Yeah, which is a pretty great story to have. And then he also has he can talk about how it's his butt skin. But in other cases, skin is grafted from cadavers even.
Mm-hmm.
So in the best of circumstances, though, we're talking about a complex procedure that would be better suited if we just had some newly fresh grown custom skin on hand.
And that one, too, if I remember correctly, they can actually add the pigment in there. They can change the different colors of skin.
Yes.
For that.
Yeah.
There's also something using spider silk.
Oh, this is neat.
Yeah. The scientists in Germany are using spider silk as a biocompatible, biodegradable adhesive matrix for skin repair.
So kind of a scaffolding.
Yeah, we talked about scaffolding when we talked about growing organs. You really need some sort of structure that's underlying all this. So they're using dragline silk from golden orb web spiders, and they wove matrices on steel frames and seeded them with fibroblasts, which provided the structural background for connective tissue. And then they added skin cell progenitors and were able to cultivate synthetic skin. Again, that's that sort of broth that you were talking about. And they were able to create dermis and epidermis, which is amazing. Now, the drawback on that is it's going to be really hard to harvest a lot of spider fibers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is to take these spider webs and then just sort of synthesize them and create, you know, something similar to this natural structure.
Didn't we engineer a goat that milks spider web, or did I dream that?
I'm going to say it sounds a little surreal,
yeah,
a little dreamlike.
I believe this was a project that some scientists were working on. I'd have to fact check that. It's projects like that could also be, you know,
yeah,
it's like we want spider webbing to serve as a scaffolding for these skin grafts. But if we could tinker with another animal and get it to produce the spider, like a goat produces spider web that is then used to grow human skin. I mean, that's kind of beautiful. Cycle of life.
Matt, our producer, just agreed with that. That's possible. I think that if that's in your head, that is real.
But then there are also a number of more techie skin things that are out there developing. For instance, MIT engineers have built nanoparticle tattoos.
Yeah.
And these are designed to help diabetics continuously monitor glucose levels. And this flows in with some of the technology we were discussing in our Contact Lenses of the Gods article.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that you would have these little receptors, nanotechnology in the lens that could interact with the fluids on the surface of your eye, and then could signal you if something was up. Similar situation with the tattoos. You could have a tattoo in place, and you could have fluorescent dyes and sensor molecules that bind to certain chemicals. And then you could flash some ultraviolet light on it, and you could detect what is actually going on inside you if you're having a...
Right, like you have an iPhone app that would send that information to a computer to be analyzed.
Yeah, and it could be used to test for things like, you know, to help diabetics monitor glucose levels and things of that nature.
Yeah. There's also something that's really cool, and it is a peelable electronic circuit.
Oh, yes. Skinput. No, not Skinput. That's a different one. I'm jumping ahead.
Skinput's really cool, too, though. But that can be rubbed onto the skin just like a temporary tattoo. And the small circuits can bend and stretch with the skin. And the semiconductor circuits could be used to monitor muscle activity, heart activity, or even brain waves. And you get it off just as you would a temporary tattoo. You just kind of rub it off with a little soap and water.
Yeah, so almost like a patch, except even less intrusive.
Yeah. But you mentioned Skinput.
Yes.
That I am the most excited about.
Yeah, that's a project created at Carnegie Mellon University and Microsoft Research. And it turns your arm or I don't know, your back, I mean, but really anything's on the table, I guess, into a touch screen. So in the case of your hand, you have a small armband, and a user would project an information display onto the skin. So it would be, you know, projection of, say, a keyboard or some sort of input display. And you would press the skin like you would an iPhone or any other touch screen. And the armband contains an acoustic sensor that uses the tissue density and other biometric data to determine where you've tapped. So it's projecting this little keyboard onto your hand, and then the band would also detect where you're touching on that keyboard, where you're touching on your screen.
So if you think Bluetooth, if you think that made everybody look insane, just wait until we get this little keyboards on our skin and we all are poking ourselves. You know, the early adopters, at least.
I like the idea of it using other people's backs for it, you know, because it kind of plays with the whole deal. You'd see in TV shows where someone needs to sign a paper and they would have the person in front of them lean over so they could sign on their back.
Well, and I could see that like a cheesy like sitcom plot point too, like take your shirt off so I can use your back. Cause I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. That went somewhere I didn't mean for it to go. But
technology always does.
It does. That's exactly. Yeah. So what about our robot friends like Arnie? What sort of skin tints can we create for them?
Oh, yeah. There are some projects that are looking into the possibility of robot skin, which sounds very Terminator-esque at first. As a kid, I always found that fascinating, how the Terminator, he has this endoskeleton that is robotic, and then he's covered in human skin, this living human tissue, because he's disguising and because whatever their weirdo time travel system, you can only send a living thing back in time or something. But I always found it interesting to think, well, how does that skin behave? How is it working? How is it jiving with that robot underneath it? One of the big things would be that the skin is this layer of sense. It allows us to touch things and feel the environment around us.
Mm-hmm.
So while we're not necessarily looking to grow Arnold Schwarzenegger's skin around all of our robots, the idea of creating a skin-like barrier, the skin-like layer that is used to sense the world, that is very much on roboticists' minds.
Okay, well, let me describe something to you that is an extremely rudimentary version of that.
Okay.
Like, I even sort of see it as like a metal robot, like squirted with goo, okay, basically. A team of researchers at Pitt University made predictions regarding the behavior of Belozov-Zabotonsky BZ gel, and that's a material that was first fabricated in the late 90s, and is shown to pulsate in the absence of any external stimuli.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, under certain conditions, the gel can sit in a petri dish and resembles a beating heart. So there's a little creepy element.
And that's without stimuli?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it needs stimuli to stop the pain. This sounds like a great idea that we code our robots in this.
I was about to say, it seems like you're going there with the plot line.
Yeah.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
So Anna Balaz, she's the Distinguished Professor of Chemical and Petroleum Engineering in Pitt Swanson School of Engineering, says, think of it like human skin, which can provide signals to the brain that something on the body is deformed or hurt. The gel has numerous far-reaching applications, such as artificial skin, that could be sensory, which she says is the holy grail in robotics.
Hmm. You throw in haptic technology for virtual reality environments, and the applications there become obvious as well. If we're sending, say, a robotic probe out to another world, and we want to sense that world as we would sense it there physically, then it makes sense to have that kind of technology involved with the robot that we send.
Well, I was thinking about that, too, in the context of the virtual sex episode that we did, especially with another little technology here, or big technology, is stretchable electronics.
Ah.
Yeah, and this electronic skin could bring touch sensitivity to machines. So this is a more, well, I think of it as a more sophisticated version. So the gentlest pressure that human skin can detect is about 1 kilopascal, but the stretchable skin can actually detect pressures that are 1,000 times more gentle.
Wow, like a ghost sneezing on you.
Yeah, exactly. It's based on organic transistors. It's made of elastic material sandwiched between two electrodes. And it's a highly sensitive surface that could help robots pick up delicate objects without breaking them. And delicate objects, I think, means us, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the future, we've talked about that too. Give prosthetics a sense of touch, which would be super cool, and give surgeons finer control over tools for minimally invasive surgery.
Well, there you have it. The future of skin is bright, full of vat-grown custom skin.
Pulsating gel.
Pulsating gel that we're spraying onto our robots. It's going to be an amazing time to live in.
Mm. Let's check in with our skinless robot, shall we?
Yeah. Let's get some listener mail. All right, here's one we received from our listener, Scott. Scott writes in and says, "Hey, guys, I stumbled across your podcast a few weeks ago, and I've been greedily gobbling up episodes ever since. I just listened to the lucid dreaming episode, and I wanted to share some of my experiences with lucid dreaming. When I first started working on the night shift as an RN, I would have extremely vivid lucid dreams almost every time I slept. I really enjoyed my experiences while lucid dreaming, and although I could never exercise complete control over the dream environment, I could usually do things like fly, teleport through walls, and breathe underwater. Somewhat less enjoyable were the episodes of false awakenings that I begin to have after especially stressful days. I would, quote-unquote, wake up, lying in my bed, and then I would slowly realize that I was still dreaming. I did some research, and I found some reality checks that came in handy. Jumping or skipping seemed to work especially well for me. If I was dreaming, I would leap in slow motion. If I wasn't dreaming, I would just feel a little silly. The false awakening got a little unnerving when I began having as many as 8 of them in a row. However, false awakenings did help me learn how to recognize dreams, and now I have lucid dreams about 3 times a week. Thanks for the great podcast. Keep up the good work." And then he also adds, "Julie, have you noticed any limits on your control of your lucid dreams? For instance, when I fly in my dreams, I find that I usually can't fly any higher than the treetops." How high can you fly, Julie?
How high can I fly? I can fly pretty well. It's one of the, I thought it was so interesting that he brought that up because it's variable. Like it's so mental because I can get up really, really, really high and see sort of like what you would think of as like not the view of a state, that particular geographical area, but it takes so much effort to try to keep going higher and higher because I find that I keep dropping in my dreams and then I have to get myself back up again. So it sort of depends on what I'm doing. If I'm just flying down a sidewalk looking in shop windows, I don't need to get so high.
On a related note to the dreaming, last night was the first night that I tried out this app on my iPhone called Dream On, like Dream colon On.
Mm-hmm.
The way it supposedly works is that you turn it on when you go to bed. You have it plugged into the wall and you have it laying face down on the bed next to you, like at the corner of the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And that it'll detect your motions, like you can supposedly tell how much you're moving around.
Mm-hmm.
And then it can figure out when you're in deep sleep based on your lack of motion. And you can have it play a preset sound to let you know that this is the time when you should be dreaming. If not alert you into a lucid state, then at least color your dreams with some sort of a soundscape.
That sounds like the beginnings of what we talked about, the Travelodge 2050 study,
yeah.
Right? Where they were talking about trying to influence your dreams and give you a nice dream.
Yeah. And the app has some sort of dream journal apparatus as well because the people who made it want to sort of keep track on how people are using it and what effect it's having. I did not have any good experiences with it last night because the cat was very vocal about becoming an indoor cat.
Did you dream of a goat producing spider web milk?
No, I dreamt of a cat that would shut up for an hour straight so I could sleep.
That then turned into a goat?
Yeah. But I'm going to keep trying it out and see if it does anything for me. It's a free download if anyone else wants to try it. There are some like in-app purchases if you want to get like different sounds, but you can use it as is and you can incorporate your own music tracks off your phone without any kind of additional price, so...
Okay.
You know, if anyone else wants to try it out, let me know. I would love to hear what your experiences are with it, and hopefully I'll have some sort of noteworthy dreaming experience with it myself.
I like this. You're collecting data now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
How do you get in touch with us? Well, you can find us on Facebook, as always. We are Stuff to Blow Your Mind on there. And you can also find us on Twitter, where our Twitter handle is Blow the Mind. One word.
And you can also drop us a line at blowthemind@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.